I'm joined by Mariam Al-Khawaja from the Bahrain Centre for Human Rights. Mariam, what do you make of the decision to retry 21 activists, including your father, in civilian courts? Is this a positive development?
Well, I mean, there are several things to take into consideration. First of all, that it's not a retrial, but an appeal. Second of all, one must ask, why is it that they're doing this? Why is it now and not before? They had an appeal last year, and yet it was rejected. And I think the reason is because of the international pressure that has been building up. We saw the same thing in the medics case, where the medics were said that they were going to be retried, but then put on appeal. And their case dragged on for so long, it's still in the courts today. And the international community basically got tired of following up with the case. And so there isn't much coverage of that case right now. And I think that's what the government is betting on, is that now they say appeal, the entire international community will, you know, applaud them for deciding to appeal the case. And then they can drag this case on while keeping these people in prison who shouldn't have been arrested to begin with and were severely tortured. They can keep them in prison for a very long time while saying that they are, you know, putting them on an appeal trial.
So would you like to see a concrete date for when this appeal would happen, or presumably you'd prefer to see them released straight away?
No, I think that all of the prisoners of conscience, all of the political prisoners in Bahrain, who are around 700 right now, I think all of them should be released immediately and unconditionally, because there has been no evidence in their cases. They should be given rehabilitation for the torture that they were put through, and they should be compensated for the amount of injustice and what they had to go through because they spoke out their opinion. If there is real evidence that anyone in jail today has committed a crime, then they should be given a fair and independent trial, something that doesn't exist in Bahrain today because we do not have an independent judiciary system. The people who make the decisions for the courts are certain members of the royal family. There is no due process or real law or, you know, a system that you can depend on.
And with respect to Abdul Hadi Al-Khawaja, your father, what is the latest on his health?
Well, as far as we know, the days that he has been cut off completely, he told my mother yesterday when she went to see him for the first time in 2 weeks, he told her that he had been drugged, tied to the bed, and then force-fed through a tube that was put down through his nose. Now, this is, first of all, considered torture because it came with solitary confinement. But also, this is very, very dangerous to his health, as it could cause infections or other complications that could lead to his death. So, of course, we're very, very worried, both about the treatment that he's receiving, the fact that they're going against his will and force-feeding him, but also about the complications that this could cause to his health.
And you mentioned the international community pressure. Do you think that has partly come about as a result of the Grand Prix? And do you fear that momentum may be lost as the Grand Prix fades from memory?
Well, I think the attention that was brought with the Grand Prix has already, to some extent, stopped because the people who were covering it are no longer covering it. There has been growing attention because of my father's case and his hunger strike, and also because of Denmark's attention to the case. But I think that the international pressure in the form of statements is not going to make too much of a difference. What we need to see is real consequences. Bahrain has not received a fair amount of attention from the international community, whether it's the EU or the US. On the contrary, at a time that the very same countries that are criticizing Russia for selling arms to Syria are themselves selling arms to Bahrain, and they've become to Bahrain what Russia is to Syria. And this is very, very problematic. What we need to see is the stopping of arms sales, a talk of economic sanctions, and special sessions on Bahrain at the Human Rights Council, given that the very same human rights violations that were documented as happening last year are continuing to happen today.
Do you have any optimism whatsoever that is likely to happen, given the relationship between Bahrain's rulers and many powerful Western countries?
Well, I think, like I said, it's change is going to come to Bahrain, but it's going to come in one of two ways. It's either going to be a very long and bloody process where people are going to have to continue protesting for many years and being killed and beaten and tortured, or it's going to come from a much, much faster response from the international community in the form of creating international pressure through consequences, through actions. Now, unfortunately, I'm not too optimistic about these Western countries that call themselves the allies of Bahrain in actually doing something about the human rights violations, because it seems when it comes to the Bahraini case, one barrel of oil sold by Saudi Arabia to these Western countries is more important than the life of a Bahraini citizen.
And does the opposition remain committed to using peaceful means? There have been reports of, protesters throwing Molotov cocktails and the like recently. What's your view on this?
Well, of course, I mean, in the Bahrain Center for Human Rights, we have time and time again asked people to remain peaceful. And we don't support any kind of violence, no matter where it's coming from. But at the same time, we also call on people on the outside to look at the situation through context, because people in Bahrain, the reason why some people are now starting to resort to Molotov cocktails and stones in what they call is self-defense is because they've been cornered and feel like they've been completely abandoned by the international community. And so when people like us, the activists, call on people to remain peaceful, their response sometimes is, well, what have you been able to offer us in more of a year where there's been a very violent crackdown? There's been no response from the international community. And the international community keeps talking about, Iranian influence and, these different things that they consider to be fears, whereas their actions, or rather inactions, are the exact cause of what is pushing people to look for friends in any country that is possible. So if Iran in the future is considered the only country that is willing to help protesters in Bahrain, then I don't see it as unlikely for people to go to that country to ask for help. And it's because of the inaction of the Western countries, unfortunately.